Well, hello everyone, wherever you're watching. Hello. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Hola. What he said. Kamakaliki maka is. It's almost time for that, right? No, it's not. Maybe it is. Yeah. Soon enough. Wherever you're watching around the world, we are so thankful you are here. We're continuing our How to Thrive in Christ series in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's in the New Testament. Yeah, New Testament, wherever you are. So we're going to continue that. And the reason we're doing this as a church, just a reminder, is because the Corinthian culture is very similar to ours. And they live in a culture that says, you live by your truth and I'll live by mine. The problem becomes when the Corinthians are Christians, they continue to try to live in the truths of the world instead of the truth that is Christ. So I need you to let three people know right now, God's love never changes. God's love never changes. God's love never changes. I needed that reminder. Yes, God's love never changes. And I don't know where you are. I think oftentimes we all struggle with that in different seasons, really, in life. Even daily we can struggle with believing God's love never changes. And so for each and every one of us, that's the perspective I want us to have as we continue in 1 Corinthians 10. We've only got a few verses we're going to be in today in 1 Corinthians 10. And we're going to learn something and be reminded of something from Paul today. And what we're going to be reminded of is how you and I as Christians are called to flee from idolatry. Now, on everyone's way in, I know we built some our idols at the back, right? Like we brought all of our idols in. We've set them down. They're all around us, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, or is there something that we had? All of us have idols that we have, and I think no matter where you are, I want us to have some freedom as we learn about this and walk through this today, is because as Christians, we're going to struggle with idols until we get to heaven. I know we don't believe that. We think that we're okay, and we think that, well, it's just because I'm a Christian, it all means that it's all worked out. Like, I'm not going to struggle with these things. But the truth of the matter is, we will. That's the point of faith. That's the point of following Jesus step by step. So as we have this perspective, we've got to be reminded that God's love never changes. But also, to set the stage, have you ever wanted something so bad? Go back to Christmas. Have you ever wanted something so bad, maybe even in life, that you got it and then it was nothing like you thought it would be? Maybe it was a good thing. It turned out to be better than you thought it could be. But more than likely, that thing you wanted more than anything probably disappointed you. It let you down. And it maybe made you think that maybe it was more than, you bit off more than you could handle. Maybe it wasn't something that you thought it would be. And all of us, when we have that, then we have a decision we have to make. And this is what Paul is helping the Corinthians do. It's not that they are following Christ is too much that they can handle. It's that they're following Christ, but they're trying to continue following their idols at the same time. And so that's what Paul is going to be walking with us. And he's going to really help us really quickly answer two questions today that we're going to walk through. And we've got to start in verse 14 before we get to the first question. So if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 14 to 17 today, just a few verses. If you don't have a Bible, as always, as Jeremy mentioned during the welcome, you can go over to the garden. We got a gift over there for you. There's probably a little bit of cupcakes and strawberry shortcake, blueberry, some kind of surprise. I don't remember what it's called, but it's over there. There's coffee, there's ice, there's all kinds of stuff. You grab that. But if you would like a Bible, go grab it, write your name on it, bring it back here with your smiling face next week. As always, you can follow along with us for free on the Vine Church app, especially if you're watching online or listening online. Let us know you're there. We'd love to say hello, but you can follow along there. And as always, Zach Candler, our Vine production team, will make sure wherever you are around the world throughout the week, the scripture is on the screen. So if you are at 1 Corinthians 10:14, either watching it in the app, wherever you're at, if you are there in the Word of God and you're ready to receive it, give me an amen. Amen. In the house of the Lord. And it says this in verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Y'all have a good week. We'll see you next week. We'll see what we could just leave it at that. Now, anytime when you're in the Bible and you hear or read therefore, you got to know what it's there for. Paul is saying, hey, in light of everything we've talked about in 1 Corinthians 1 all the way to now, this is what I'm trying to get to you, Corinthians. Last time we gathered together, we talked about standing firm in 1 Corinthians 10, and it talked about the Israelites wandering in the desert, rejecting the gift that God had given them because they wanted to chase something else. And so what Paul is saying to the Corinthians is, hey, therefore now that you know that Jesus is who he says he is, you understand that the Old Testament was written about God's promise and how Jesus is the fulfillment of it, now you've got to do something, Corinthians. Now it is now upon you. You have some accountability. You have agency in your life. You have free will, and there's something you must do. Flee from idolatry. Everybody leaves right now because they're like, man, I didn't come to church for this today. But that's all right. Listen, I struggle with this. We all struggle with this. But let me tell you the beauty of God's love never changing. Depending on the version you read, we have the NIV on the screen wherever you are, and I teach and preach from the NIV, but believe it or not, I study the NKJV. I know, it's weird. It's just how it is. Like in my quiet times at home, I'm in the NKJV. It's what I grew up with. There aren't the these and thous in there, so that I can understand that. Maybe you're an NLT or a ESV. That's a great translation too. Wherever you are, there's nothing wrong with your translation. I just want to say whatever translation you may have in the NKJV, it says, therefore, my beloved. Now, when I get a message or a letter that starts out with my beloved, I know it's a scam immediately now in this day and age, right? Or it starts out, beloved. I'm a Nigerian prince. Yes. Yes, we have found cobalt mines. I don't know, whatever it is. I get those now. And the reason, though, that this matters, and I want to point this out to you, is when Paul is writing this in the original Greek language, it's agapeteos, which literally is from agape love, which is the love of God. Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, he's using the same verbiage that God used to describe Jesus when he came up out of the water after his baptism in Matthew 3. This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. That's important for us because Paul is saying, now that you know all these things, now that you knew what the old ways of the world was, all the old truths of the world, and now you walk in the truth of Christ, know the immutable character of God as he does not change. You are his, not based on what you do, not based on how you live, not based on how much scripture you know, how much you serve, how much you give. It is because of who you are in him. God's love never changes. It is his, like I said, that seminary immutableness of God, that $3 word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we could spend all day on this verse. I love unpacking this, but just looking at this, think about that. Therefore, in light of all that you know and this decision you've made to follow Christ, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my beloved, my family in Christ, now that you know this, I want to compel you to flee from idolatry. Now, when it says, my dear friends, it makes me think of the church, does it not? Like, this is us, the church. This is what Paul's about to conjure up as he is talking through and what he's alluding to in the next scriptures we'll get to in a minute after we answer that question here in a second. Is he saying, my dear friend. He's saying that because he struggled with it. If you remember, Paul writes he's got a thorn in his flesh. Many speculate what that was, but he says that he asked Jesus to take it away from him, and he said no, that his strength is made perfect in Paul's what, church? Weakness. So his weakness, our hearts are weak, and I'm not talking about cardiovascularly where we need a quadruple bypass. I'm saying our hearts are weak. It seeks the things of this world. Jesus teaches us that. On the Sermon on the Mount, that's why he said, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is the heart of what Paul is trying to get to here for the Corinthians. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, or my dear friends, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now think of what that image is, fleeing from something. When I say flee, oftentimes we think of I think of the terrible floods that have happened in Texas, right? Like they tried to flee and it was too late. I think of somebody running from a war or a gunfire. You're trying to flee or it's too late. I think of you know, if I was in Vine Kids and they heard me in the restroom or something, they're going to flee and scatter, right? I think of a cockroach at night. You flip the light on, them little boogers just go crazy unless you get that one, you know, he's just like, what's up, man? How you doing? You know, like, that guy's the one you got to worry about. But when it says flee, it doesn't mean to stay in it, does it? Does it mean to does flee mean like, all right, I'm just going to put my toe in the water of it? Flee. Which alludes to what Paul's about to get to. When you're fleeing from something, that means you're running towards something else, right? This is what Paul is getting at. He's saying, flee from your idols. Now, maybe you grew up in church or not, and you hear this, and like I said, maybe it's just a good reminder for us today. What in the world is an idol? An idol is anything we place and elevate above God on the throne of our heart. So when we talk about idols, we want to talk about how in the world can I identify my idol? Well, let's look at what is placed upon the throne of our heart above God. It can be an actually a good thing or a bad thing. Paul's saying you've got to flee from that. Why is he going to say you have to flee from that? Because idols themselves become our functional saviors. They become our addictions. They become the things that we worship, the things that we chase, the things that we treasure. Believe it or not, they become the things that we obey. And before we say we don't have an addiction, I want you to think about something. Do you have a TV schedule when your show comes on? Don't lie, we get older, we all do. Now in this world, listen, I grew up in the VCR days, right, where you hoped it recorded, and I was told about how lucky I was with that, and you had to program it, you know? You had to sit there and hope that it didn't mess up, and you recorded it over 7 times and hope nobody else did. Then this wonderful thing called a TiVo came along, and DVR came along, and now it's on demand, and you just get them all dropped at once and whatever else. I mean, all that crazy good stuff. Whereas growing up, my mom would talk about 3 channels and rabbit ears, and I didn't get to live in that. I got to live in the cable days. Thank God for Nickelodeon. Before the craziness, I guess I can't say that. I found some terrible things about Nickelodeon now. But I grew up in those days, right? Like, all that, I'm just saying, that was my Saturday Night Live. Anyway, all that to say, wherever you are, we all have things that we become addicted to, and they can be idols, and we can end up worshiping them. And because they act as our functional saviors, you know what those idols do to us? They make us shrink, shrivel, and die. But Christ gives us life. When we pray, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior and place God in his proper place on the throne, the thing that's worth worshiping, all of a sudden we have life in all seasons. It's not easy. Some seasons we don't want to. Some seasons we don't even want to get out of bed. Nothing wrong with that, right? Like sometimes we do not want to get out of bed. But does that change God's faithfulness? It doesn't. Does it change his mercy being new every morning? Does he still give us agency to make a choice to say, you know what, God, right now I just don't understand. But at least you're coming to him. You know, in those rough seasons in life I've been in, and I think we all have been there, and the unexplainable seasons, God can handle all those big questions. The beauty is we run to him to try to get the answer, even if he says we must wait. And there are some things on this side of eternity we're never going to get the answer to. We just never are. But as long as we're running to him for it, we're going to be okay. See, the problem with that idol is it's going to give you a short answer. That's why if you grew up in the Ten Commandments growing up in church, some folks may or may not. I know I didn't grow up with them in school. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. We didn't have to know the Ten Commandments. I used to hear my mother talk about them being stamped up on up under there with a pledge growing up in the classroom. I don't know kind of how they do that anymore. I don't think that they have that anymore. But at the same time, that's why God says the first 2 commandments. He said, I'm the Lord your God. In Exodus 23 and then Exodus 20 verse 4 and 5, he says, you are to put no other gods before me. And we talked about this the other week, but gods, that means there are gods in this world. There are idols that we're going to place in our life over God. We're going to try to do that. He says, don't place anything else before me. Then he says, don't make a carved image of anything of the heavenly host above or the earth below and worship it. So when we're identifying our idols, we've got to understand for us, and we'll unpack kind of where to look for that here in just a moment, what that can look like for us. But God himself is saying, listen, you can either trust your idol or you can trust me. But when you trust me and you try to hang on to your idol, either you're going to flee from it or I'm going to take it from you. Because that's the only way you can know me. You can't do both. That's that famous verse where Jesus says you can't serve both God and mammon, and we always like to, we'll talk about money in a minute. That's later, that way you don't turn it off. But we'll talk about that in just a minute, wherever we are. But that's why Jesus says that. And I will tell you, in this life, you're going to not chase God on some things. You are. It's just the truth of the matter. It is our humanness, our sinfulness. But God in his grace and mercy helps us walk through that, and Jesus leads us through that. So let's talk about really quickly, how do I identify my idols? And we're going to go to three areas, but I want to start with a question, give you two more, and then we're going to go there. Can I do that? Awesome. Everybody said yes. You didn't hear it. It was like the applause earlier. You just didn't quite. I heard it. There are angels that said they want. So we're going to go with it. So how do I identify my idols? And you kind of want to look at it. And let me ask you this when it comes to that. If you could get more of it, would you? Right now, if you ask the world today, if you could get more of it, would you? I'm pretty sure, what do you think people would say? Probably health, wealth, things, jobs, status. If you could get anything more, would you? And I'm not saying those things are bad things. I'm just going to say, if Christ isn't in that equation and first, you might have an idol. You might have an idol, and he might be identifying that to you. What is the thing that you just know that you, if you just could get more of it, then you would be satisfied? And I just want to tell you, it stinks to say this, but there's really nothing on this earth right now that you couldn't get that's going to be not even sweeter in eternity. Let me say this right way. Anything you get on this earth is just a taste of the fullness of eternity. And even though we want that fullness now, we really can't fully experience it. And it stinks to even fathom that. But it is true. Because this is but a glimpse here in heaven. So let's talk about this when it comes to identifying our idols. What's the first place we can look? Our imagination. Our minds. What captures our minds? What in the world? The better question when it comes to that is what do you do when no one else is around? Where does your mind wander to? Where does it go? And when it goes to that place, what do you turn to? Who are you when I'm not looking, right? That's the country. Anyway, your imagination. What captures your mind? What makes your mind race? What keeps you up at night? That could be an idol. Here comes the fun one. Money. And everybody, lock the doors. Ushers, come down. I'm just... Lock the doors, ushers. We're going to come down. You'll come down. Play us out. Somebody, let's play. Keep going. There's not enough in that bucket. We're going to go three more times around. Let's just see what happens. We bring the sacrifice of praise. I'm just kidding. We could do this. Money. This is the one that goes after our heart more than anything. Money. What captures your heart? Your bank account will tell you what captures your heart. I'm not going to beat you up about giving. It's why we try to live and we celebrate our giving. And you hear it every week, and sometimes it can be drowned out in the noise, and you may think it's not a big deal, or it can just be lost because we talk about it. But that's why we at the Vine always believe in sowing seeds around the world of the gospel. And we celebrate what God has allowed us to give because it keeps our heart in the right place to understand it's not just about this. It's about the local church around the world. So when you identify your idols, how about this? It's not bad to save money. It's not bad to spend money on things. It's just, where is Christ in that equation? Is he first? Is he third? Is he the leftover if I have enough? Where is Jesus in that equation? And if he's not first, then you might have an idol. And you need to bring that to him. Last is your uncontrolled emotions. I'm laughing at this because we all have this. I don't care who you are. We all have uncontrolled emotions. What do I mean? Your outburst, your anger. Where does your depression come from? Where does your frustration, the thing that you're just like, like you go Incredible Hulk on, where is that? What is that about? At the bottom of that might be your idol. What captures your affections? And the reason that you got to identify your idol is once you've identified it, the real question is, now I can identify it. Where do I go to? Where the church's answer is what, church? They all said Jesus. It is what it is. Y'all missed it. We had it mute. Hang on, let's one more time. Say Jesus. What is it, church? Where do you go to?
Jesus.
Jesus, that's it. This is like vacation Bible school all over again. I love it. So if you do anything when your kids go to vacation Bible school, if you want to say, hey, I just want to make sure they think that I'm doing great at home, just keep telling them to say Jesus the whole time they're there. And that's great, and you're going to look great, and it's going to be perfect. That might be an idol for you, but we won't open that wound. So that being said, now that you've identified, what do? You run to Jesus. You replace that with Jesus, and it sounds so simple, but it's the hardest thing in the world. One of my favorite pictures is, and I think we've used it before, and I've used it before, is there's a I think it's a little girl standing before Jesus, and she's got her little teddy bear. And Jesus has like this big old, like at the fair, you get life-size teddy bear behind her. And he's asking her to give him that teddy bear so that he can give her that life-size one. And she's got a choice to make. Is this little teddy bear so important to me and it my idol that I've got to hang on to it? Or do I trust Jesus with it to get something that can be greater? I can tell you there are times I love my little teddy bear, Jesus. You can't mess with that's my little teddy ruckskin, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't mess that. You can't mess that up. Like, this is my teddy bear. And he's saying, but I have something so much greater from you, or for you, excuse me. So this is the question I have for us when it comes to that, when it comes to our idol. I started thinking a lot. How many folks are on the beach vacation train right now? Many of us, right? All of us in the house. I'm already sunburnt just thinking about y'all. So that being said, as folks are already there, I'm so glad there's going to be light in heaven and I don't have to worry about sunscreen. Praise Jesus' name that he's going to be the light. SPF 1000 would not work for this freckles. They'll come together one day and this tan will be amazing. But that being said, I want you to think about the beach vacation. Now, if you got kids, you usually spend time building the sandcastles, right? You do the same. They play in the sand. Hanging on to your idol is like spending all your time worrying, chasing, building, and correcting a sandcastle and missing out on the whole vacation that God wants to give you. Because that sandcastle is just going to go away with the tide, isn't it? It's like building it and then being mad the next morning that it's gone. And then you got to build it again, and I got to rebuild it again, and I got to rebuild it again, and I got to go do it again, and I got to make it perfect. I got to get it ready. That's what an idol will do to you. And you'll start worshiping it, and you'll start building a little moat around it, and you'll try to start getting little things crazy. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful sea turtle comes on, and you go shoo it away because you don't want it messing with that while it's trying to get its eggs there. Like, you're doing all of these things to protect this little sandcastle to miss out on the vacation that God wants to give you, the rest that he wants to give you. That's what an idol will rob you of. That's why you gotta flee from it. That's why we must flee from it. And what do we flee from it for? Because we're running to Jesus. The best way I can say this is when it comes to our salvation, my best advice to you is stop running from hell that is your idol and instead run to Jesus. Because that's all salvation is. That's what we have to do with our idols as well. Let's see how Paul kind of wraps this up in verse 15 to 17 for us today. And he says this, I speak to sensible people. Obviously, I was not part of the Corinthian church, but I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? But there is one loaf. We, who are many, are one body, for we all share one loaf. Paul is talking about communion and the Lord's Supper. That should conjure up there what he's talking about. And he's talking about us as the church belonging to each other. And what we have to be reminded of and understand here is the Corinthians were treating, Paul will talk about it more with communion a little bit, they were treating the communion like a place to get drunk. That doesn't sound like anybody in our family, do they? You know, they go to that one place that has the real communal wine and they just keep getting that. They just keep getting that blessing, son. They just keep going up there. Like, calm down. That's what they were doing. They were treating it like a drunken revelry. They would go and gorge themselves on the loaf. Like, you know, I ain't ate all day. Let me go up there. Is this like Costco? Do I get another sample? Like, no. They were treating communion, they were treating the body, the blood, the salvation of Christ like the idols they worshiped in the past. It was just a thing to go to. It was a social event. It had no reverence. It had no awe with it. And it should sound a lot like what Paul talked about at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 10. They were treating God like the Israelites were. God made them pass. Remember, they were baptized in Moses. They passed through the Red Sea, and they got mad they didn't have water, mad they didn't have manna, mad they didn't have meat, and they missed out on the fullness of God's promise. They chased the sandcastle of Egypt and miss out on the promised rest and vacation of the promised land. This is what you and I have to do when it comes to our idols. Now, why does this matter? Because of the Corinthians, they were missing one thing. Salvation is individual, yes, but it affects the entire church. We belong to each other. Paul is coming back to that rubbing against each other. You and I belong to each other. And when the Corinthians were irreverent to communion, it affected the local church around the world. It didn't just affect the individual Corinthian or the Corinthian church. It affected the entire church, the local church around the world. And so for you and I, we got to be reminded that when we chase that idol, we aren't just affecting ourselves. We're affecting our beloved, our dear friends. We are affecting our church and the local church around the world. Now, there's beauty in that, though. Because when we flee from that idol, we're not only affecting ourselves, we're affecting our dear beloved friends and the local church around the world. That's why Paul's about to build up to the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, as he's going to help us understand we are one loaf together through Christ Jesus. We are one body, right? Jesus said that loaf is his body, that bread is his body broken for us. That's why we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. We belong to each other. So your decision as a Christian no longer just affects you. It affects us all. And there's beauty in it. When you give up your teddy bear to get that big teddy bear, you get to share that teddy bear with everybody else now instead of just hanging on to your little teddy bear. But when you keep that teddy bear with closed hands and clenched fists, it's really hard to share it. See, that's what Paul is getting at. So now that you know how to identify your idols, let's really look for a couple of places then that we look for our salvation. The question is, where do I look for my salvation? Where do we look for our salvation? Where do you look for your salvation? What in the world does that look like for you? Because in the end, I want to tell you this. Why are we bringing this up now? What does it make sense? And why does it have to do with our idolatry? I think the thing that hit me the most as we were getting ready for this and preparing for this is that uncontrolled emotion part, your outburst. There's always something more than your outburst. Have you ever noticed that? What you're mad in the moment about is really not what you're mad about. It never is. There's something at the bottom of it. Usually it's control. Usually it's something else that's happened and it's something that you don't have control of and the person that you love has control of it. Spouses, this happens all the time. You take it out on that person because you know they're going to be there. And when you say you're sorry and you're okay, you can kind of control, well, maybe it's going to be all right and we'll do a little bit of damage control and it's going to be all right and they understand my outburst. But you see, for all of us, we're going to have those seasons where we're at the end of ourselves. And if you've never been through those seasons, God bless you. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to come. But I'd be willing to say everybody in this room has been to that season where you're at the end of yourself. Why am I saying, where do I look for my salvation that comes to our idols? When you come to the end of yourself, you are looking for something transcendent, something outside of you. You are looking for hope somewhere because I'm at the bottom of the pit, God, and there's no way I can get out. There's nothing I've done. I've dug this hole myself, maybe, or maybe I was like Joseph and I got thrown in that hole against my will. But God, I'm at the end of myself. And I will tell you, at the end of yourself, you will find your idol. You will find where your salvation is. You will find the thing that you think will save you. And for many of those, and many of us right now, even as Christians, we may still struggle with this. The first place you go is yourself. We look for salvation yourself. I got to fix this about myself. I got to do this health. I got to do this thing. I got to take this. I got to go grab this. I got to have this car. I got to have this house. I got to go to this vacation. I got to make this post. I got to do all these things myself. I've got to work on myself. I need a new wardrobe. I need a new this. I need a new that. And does that cycle ever break? Because it doesn't. It's amazing that, I'm old so I can say this, but it is true, it's even more now. It used to be the self-help section at the bookstore is the biggest section and grows, but now even online. Everything is self-help, right? Well, if it worked, why do you have to have a monthly subscription to it? What? Yeah. Why do you got to keep giving money to it? I thought it worked one time. I thought it was a 12-step program. I'm on step 85. It still ain't working. Because they helping themselves. Huh? Anywho's, we won't open that wound. Because they're struggling with their self, but we won't open that either. Here's the thing. You get dissatisfied with that. And so you keep chasing it. And you keep chasing it. And the reason is, this leads to you and I striving, at never ceasing, and it leads to hopelessness. Because you and I will never be satisfied continually changing ourselves. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to change. Absolutely, we're supposed to change. In Christ Jesus, we change. But to do it in our own effort, it never works. Because you and I will never be satisfied with it, because we are not the answer to the satisfaction question. The church answer is Jesus. Thank you. They get stars today when somebody give them the gold stars. They get extra snacks. They get the extra cream cookies at the end, you know, the little vanilla creams. I'm just saying, it is what it is. If you knew, you knew. Knock off Oreos, knock off Sunny D, the way to go. Self. You look to yourself. The second thing you look to outside of yourself is, once you realize that's not going to work, you start looking at others. Start looking at relationships. Maybe it's with your kids. Maybe it's with their spouse. Maybe it's a work relationship. Maybe it's a friendship. And you put the weight of your salvation on that other person. And because you're not satisfied and you don't have joy, it's their fault. And you'll crush them. That's always the advice I give to married couples. That's what you're going to do. Do not put your salvation upon your spouse, because they will fail. They will fail you each and every time. Doesn't mean they don't love you. Doesn't mean they don't wish they could save you. But they will always let you down. And you know what happens when that happens? It starts bringing fear in the relationship. It starts bringing a wedge in the relationship. It starts bringing more dissatisfaction in the relationship. Why? Because when you get married, there's always supposed to be a third strand. You and I aren't the answer to the love question that we're trying to answer. It's church. Yes, we got more Jesus. Whoever's listening online on the podcast was like, ah, it's all right. You heard me scream. I got a few more for us. I've only got 18 more. We're almost there. I'll get you. Yeah, thank you. It's wage rolls. That's what everybody said was the answer to their salvation. The third place we look is anything in this world, created things, right? We go to ourselves, we go to others, and we're dissatisfied. Now we got to look at the world around us. And so we run to food, we run to alcohol, we run to sex, we run to our career, we run to mindless scrolling for joy. And then you realize it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you've been sitting there, right? Like, and you can't understand why that happened, right? It happens to all of us. Usually mine is dad jokes and funny videos, or just some crazy thing like I was today years old things. It's terrible. But anywho's, you see that. But those fade quickly, right? Because then you got to scroll again the next day to keep updated with the feed. Let me ask, do you feel better after you do that, or worse usually? For a minute you might feel better, right? But you feel worse, because you know what you want to do when you put it down? Oh, I want to look at their profile. Let me see if there's anything else on there. Just let me keep going, right? It gives you worry and anxiety, because it'll never bring you the joy you need. Because you and I aren't the answer to our joy question. The answer is, yes, everybody sees with a smile. Dun, 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 dun. I'm sorry, Lord, I do not want to be irreverent, but seriously, I love this. Jesus. When I think of this right now in the world, is not the world that Jesus given us a gift? Every day's a gift, is it not? See, what ends up happening is, I just ask you, did you ask for that toy at Christmas and it wasn't what you thought it was? Imagine you ask your parents for this brand new bicycle. It's a BMX bike, ready to go as a trick bike, all black. You got it, and you went outside. Now in the days, let's just be honest. It's a drone probably nowadays. You got it, and you went to play with it, and you broke it immediately. Parents, that is life, is it not? Now imagine your kid being mad at you that they broke the gift that they begged you for. Does that happen, parents? All the time. Now, think about this. This world that is a gift that God has given us, when we misuse it as our idol, we do the exact same thing to him. He gives us that gift, and we get mad at him that we chase it instead of him. I'm saying this right now. That thing you prayed for is here, and you're mad at God about it because it's not what you thought it was. It hits us all with those arrows right now because we're all thinking about that thing. Hey, maybe that's your idol. Leave it to God. Let him work it out. I'm not telling you how to fix yourself today because I can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit can. Trust the Holy Spirit in it. But maybe, just maybe, you're looking in this world. The last place we start to look is religion. We think, I'll earn God's favor. I will be perfect in everything I do. I will stay dedicated, and come January 1st, you do it every year. And Genesis 1 is the most read book of the Bible because every year everybody's reading Genesis 1. I'm going to tell you right now, that page in your Bible is probably marked up more than anything. So is Matthew 1, because usually in your Bible reading plan, those are the two that you're going to be in. And then after that, right? You know why? Because eventually all of us are found out to not be perfect. Because you and I are the answer to our perfection question. The answer is? Which leads to the last place to look for salvation. Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus. You can give your body, you can give your blood, your bread, your soul to this idol that you will hope will save you. Or you can receive the body, the blood, and the salvation of Jesus that has saved you. Because God's love never changes. There is no in between. It's Jesus or anything else. But you see, God's love never changes is what he reminds us of in John 3, 16 and 17. When it's reminding us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not mad at you for chasing your idols. He's standing there in front of you with open arms saying, flee from them and run to me. And I will welcome you with open arms. I'm not here to condemn you. I will help you work it out. I will help you make that change. I will help you stop chasing that addiction. You know why we struggle with that? Because our heart on this side of eternity will always be addicted to something. You've got to make the choice as to what you will be addicted to. Jesus or anything else. There is no in between. You see, that idol that we have in our life is called sin. It is. It's putting anything above God. It breaks the very first commandment. As a matter of fact, that's what Adam and Eve did. They sinned. They went against God. And you and I can never be perfect enough to work ourselves out, can never fix ourselves enough, can never be in the right relationship with anyone other than Jesus to make it work. We can never chase the things of this world to make it work. The only thing we could do is trust him as our Lord and Savior. Because Jesus did for us what we can't do for ourselves. He took that chasm, that separation that sin had us in from an almighty God, and he fills it for us. He lives a perfect, sinless life you and I can't live, becoming the answer to our perfection problem. He builds the bridge. He is the only way to God by his life, his death on the cross, paying the eternal penalty for our sin forever, past, present, and future. The ones you're going to commit tomorrow, he's already paid for. He paid the price once and for all. See, to go into the presence of God with sin meant that something had to die. To chase an idol means you and I die. And God doesn't want us to die without him. So he sends his son so that we don't have to die. So Jesus dies for us in our place. And he loves us enough not to stay dead. He rises again by the power of the Holy Spirit, defeating death, hell, and the grave, so that you and I can have life and life to the full. Have freedom from those idols, freedom from those addictions, freedom to be in full relationship with him for eternity. The question is, what do we choose? Here at the Vine Church, nobody prays out loud alone here in the house. So we're going to say a prayer here in just a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith of this prayer that saves you. We're going to be telling Jesus and confessing our sins, saying we know we are a sinner separated from him. And the only way to be in right relationship with God is through faith in him, his life, his death, and his resurrection. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, wherever you are right now, please repeat the words of this prayer of faith out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, whether you're online right now or you're in the house, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. If for the first time you have confessed your sin and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have done that for the first time today, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. If you're online right now, you can shoot us a message. We'd love to celebrate this decision with you. I want to let you know this isn't you fleeing from hell. This is you running to Jesus. This is the starting block of the rest of your eternity. And if you have made this decision, we want to help you get in touch with a local church near you today and celebrate this decision you have made. For the rest of us right now, I'm about to pray as we get ready to worship. And after I say amen on this prayer, you can stand up. But I'm just going to pray for us right now because I know we all are going to struggle with things in our life that keep us from the love of Christ or keep us from the fullness of Christ. So let me just pray for us right now. Jesus, in this moment, I just pray that you would just be with each and every one of us right now, that you are identifying those things that have the potential to be idols in our life before they take over our life. Lord, I pray that right now we would lay them at your feet. I pray that right now we know that there is nothing else that's worthy of your worship. Jesus, as you said, coming into Palm Sunday, even the rocks cry out the worthiness of your worship. Jesus, all of creation sings the worthiness of your worship. And so, Jesus, I pray right now, no matter what we're going through, no matter what season we are in, we aren't afraid to step into your season of love and your worship, Jesus. We aren't afraid to step up into your presence. We aren't afraid to trust you, Jesus, with our little teddy bear, that we can live in the fullness of all that you want to give us. We ask all this in your wonderful, your precious, and your holy name, and we worship your name, and it is for your glory we pray. Amen.
You'll stand and worship with us.
Well, I'm so thankful that we got to gather together today, Vine fam. We can't wait to see your smiling face next week. I know this was a little bit of a crazy one, but it's one that we can always be thankful to the Lord for, because he alone is worthy, right? Ain't that good? Ain't it good we don't have to figure out, we don't have to be reincarnated 50 times to be the right animal. We don't have to figure out what step we're on of enlightenment in the path. We don't have to figure out if we had to do this many things or that many things, or we confessed all of that. We just get Jesus. I don't know about you, but it just seems like the easiest choice in the world, right? It's a lot easier to follow Jesus than figure the rest of it out, isn't it? Because he's got it all worked out. So I just pray that we would bring that to the streets, and we would bring our big old life-size teddy bear to the world instead of hanging on to our little tiny one. We hope you have an awesome week.